Blog Talk Radio.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Come here!
Actual physical contact!
For the record, that is not what I did to keep Jason Block from being on the show tonight. North American Wrestling Connection was supposed to be hosted this evening by Jason Block, but he's out chasing autographs. So tonight, I am going to step up and be in charge. My name is Nikki Heyman. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. Let me introduce the people who have shown up so far tonight. First, just to my north, from Toledo, Ohio, Staff Boy Josh Henninger.
Good evening, everyone. It's so nice to be back, and Hell in a Cell.
And then sitting over here to my right, a gentleman we all know and love, Mr. Typho.
If you need something to make you feel better after Hell in the Cell, look no farther than Impact and the fact that Mick Foley has a framed picture of Sally Boy and Rocco on his desk.
I missed the entire Impact. I've got to go back on my DVR and watch it.
But all things in order. There was a pay-per-view on Sunday, and Josh Henninger is thoroughly injured by it. Jason Block was in attendance, and his vitriol will be epic when he finally joins us. I spent the money on it. I didn't think it was all that bad. Admittedly, though, the match order could have used a little work.
A little?
Well, let me just throw something in on that as... And we get some notice from...
What the?
Station WORK reports that the reason we opened the show with a Hell in a Cell match, specifically The Undertaker versus CM Punk, is that Taker's hip is still giving him all kinds of hell.
Yeah, I understand that, but some of it's still wonky.
Oh, well,
really
no,
wonky.
Trust me, that probably threw a lot of it off, but not crowd-wise. Because this was a serviceable, if not short, opener.
Yeah.
With Undertaker taking the win, surprisingly without the use of Hell's Gate.
Which was odd, because they were hyping that up all SmackDown long before the pay-per-view.
It was unbanned just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
I find it even more amusing that it had pretty much been unbanned since Vicky Guerrero stepped down as SmackDown general manager, but we won't quibble over details like that kind of continuity now, will we?
No.
Goldust can still have his Tourette's, but we can't remember the Hell's Gate ban.
Although she has referenced it.
She has, but if you go back and look around at earlier pay-per-views, he's used that in matches where it would otherwise be banned.
That's because she was gone, so yeah.
True, but I default back to the question, who are we to tell Undertaker no?
Right.
I'll give you the answer to that.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
If his hip's in such bad shape that he has to be pushed to the first match of the show in about a 10-minute Hell in a Cell match, why are we putting the title on him?
Yeah.
That one I haven't figured out, but when we come around to SmackDown, at least they're making sure that they're not gonna beat him up too badly.
Right.
Cage is raised, and I believe we went into the Intercontinental title match.
Correct.
Which, you know, I had 14 very good reasons to watch.
Yeah.
All 8 abs and all 6 of Ziggler's.
I'm not surprised with you. Not one bit.
Help it. It's such a view. I need Trista. Anyway. But as expected, or at least I expected, that they're not putting the belt on Dolph just yet.
Bragging rights, perhaps?
Could happen. We'll see if they actually set up a match for that. Because they haven't gotten that far yet.
Maybe Dolph is going to become the Batista of the Intercontinental title ranks. Title shot after title shot after title shot.
Don't tell me he's also learned the Konami code.
No,
he's working on it.
He's working on it. If Dave can spare it, then it's after the next time he gets hurt. We'll see. Let's see. Serious show.
You skipped one, but whatever.
Well, we already knew what was going to happen with that match. Jericho is not dropping the belts anytime soon. They are just too entertaining, going every which way.
Right. Also, Mickie James, Alicia Fox, outside the DDT, I heard it was not good.
It was all right, but again, you know, WWE women's matches, you know, some nights they're awesome, other nights they're, what in the world was that?
Yeah.
So, let's see. Then they dropped the cage again for Cena Orton. And I'll tell you what, if we ever do Food Chain with Hell in a Cell again, this one's going barely above Hell in a Kennel.
Oh, wow. That's rough.
Does it at least get above Undertaker Boss Man at WrestleMania 15?
I'd actually have to torture myself by seeing that match. I couldn't tell you. But we timed it. The gentleman that was here with me and I timed it. Randy Orton did a move every 2 minutes. The rest of the time, he was just standing around.
He only did, 10, 11 moves the entire match?
Pretty much, because Cena was just laying there, probably saying, kick me, punch me, do something to me. So
the 21 and a half
really makes me look forward to the upcoming pay-per-view match between them.
Don't get me started there. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm here. I'm late, but I'm here.
Thank you, VRM.
Oh,
you're
VRM.
You're just in time for us to make our simple comment about the Cena Orton Hell in a Cell.
Woo!
That was the shittiest Hell in a Cell match I have witnessed.
I was out of the room, so I missed it.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
If you ever go back and watch it at double speed, and it'll look like a regular match. Randy Orton did a move every 2 minutes. We timed him. And he didn't do anything when he wasn't doing any moves. And I'll argue with a worker about this. Randy Orton just stood there and was looking at Cena like, okay, what was I supposed to do next? And you could just hear the gears grinding and steaming while he's trying to figure that part out. And this being a slow as heck match, we had the issue of never bet against Cena versus Orton under the last chance rule. So Orton essentially won on a head punt of doom after John Cena fell out of the ropes because he'd fallen asleep.
I think we all fell asleep during the match, or at least those who watched it did.
I didn't have anything heavy or cheap enough to throw at my television.
And I'm all for John Cena not being champion, but I don't understand why he already lost the belt when he just won it. But they really seem to like hot potatoing the world titles around lately, so I guess that's what they want to do.
If I remember counting right, it was, 15 title reigns in 2009 between the two big belts?
Mm-hmm. Are they trying to break the 1999 record or something?
They're very close to doing that with, I believe, the WWE title. They're at 9.
Okay. Because I think 1999, it changed hands 11 times.
It was 12 reigns 11 times.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay.
Including a Vince McMahon title run.
Don't even say that too loud.
Can we room that?
We'll get back with you. Caller, you're on the air. Hello? Hello, 985, are you out there?
What the hell? I'm hearing something and it's creeping me out.
Well, I don't want
to... Number 53.
Yeah, 12 rains, 11 changes.
Yep.
Okay. All right, that one went away. Okay. Oh, I might know this number. 740, hello.
Hey, yo.
DJ, welcome to the show.
What's up?
We're lamenting Hell in a Cell.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to see it. I was watching Big Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers defeat the Chargers Sunday night.
You know, I'm going to say this before we get any deeper into this. To be honest, I had a choice between Raw or Hell in a Cell, because Hell in a Cell was down here at home in Newark, and Raw was up in Albany. But then I realized that that was also homecoming weekend, so, yeah, I'm not driving down Sunday morning, because I have had both a football and a hockey game to go to, not driving down Sunday morning to drive down to Newark and then drive back up on Monday morning for school. It's like, no, I'm going to Raw.
You did the right
thing. Anyway. It was a better show anyway on Raw. But at least they went to the top of the cell.
Yeah. So when
sadly for me, Raw's going to be in my area on Sunday, and I'm not even going to be here. Boo.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Raw's supposed to be in my area a little after that, October 11th or thereabouts.
Yeah,
Toledo.
Sunday they're going to be in Toledo, and I don't have a ticket, so I'm not going to be up there either.
And I don't have the money to go. Yay.
I wanted to go, but my mom and dad sprung Steelers Lions tickets on me, so that's going to be at Ford Field that Sunday, so I won't be able to make it. Since I now live in Toledo, I figured the only chance they come down here.
Whoa. Okay, we need to talk after the show, seriously. Back
awesome.
To the pay-per-view, please.
Well, let me get somebody else in here. It's about time, Mr. Block.
I think he's still partying from Texas walk-off.
Okay. If you're out there, Jason, I cannot hear you, and I took you off mute.
I am here. Hello.
Oh, there you are.
Oh look, our host is here.
Yeah, well, excuse me. Excuse me that I had to wait 3 hours for an autograph of Alton Brown. I mean, it's insane. It was nuts.
Okay.
Okay, so where are we at this point?
I'm celebrating Texas walk-off home run.
Okay.
Well, no.
So how many matches are we into Hell in a Cell? Because I was there alive.
We just finished the Orton Cena one, which, you know, we all agree, suck. And as I said, if we do Food Chain again, I'm putting it barely above Hell in a Kennel.
Right, pretty much. And I will also say this much to you. Since I was there alive, and I found something very interesting, during this week, everyone was going, if you remember correctly, why was the order so AFU? I assume you all were wondering that, correct?
I brought it up.
Oh,
told me this, Jason.
What?
You already told me this, Jason.
Yes, but someone else, so some people may not have heard this. So let me tell this story. The CM Punk Undertaker match, according to PW Insider and sources in the company, was supposed to close the show up until about 4 hours before showtime. Undertaker went to them and said, I can't go. I can't make it a main event match. Put me on first. And they hemmed and hawed and all that stuff, and they said, well, okay. That's why you had the out-of-control order that you did.
That's what I don't understand. He's not good enough to go, but yet he's good enough to carry the SmackDown brand's World Heavyweight Championship.
That's what I said.
It makes no sense to me, and it also makes no sense from a booking perspective either. I mean, and it was also confirmed this week that he did have a full hip replacement after WrestleMania.
In the ring at all. See Roddy Piper.
Correct. So,
SmackDown was just 2 or 3 months ago the best wrestling program that we've had in a long, long time on these airwaves. And now you have Rey Mysterio back in the main event picture. You have Batista moving over. You have Undertaker, who obviously can't work at the level that he's accustomed to, holding the belt. It's just kind of crazy.
And
they're threatening us with Cena.
And, well, you know what? I will guarantee with the stipulations, which we'll get to in, you know, in Raw in a little bit, you're probably going to have Cena on SmackDown because the number one face, the number one face in WWE got himself arrested. You know,
yeah.
Truth be known. I mean, that's what it is. But go on. So I'm sorry. Yeah. So we had a Cena Orton match then.
Okay, when the cage was raised, and I think we did the U.S. title match?
No, you had R-Truth versus Drew McIntyre, which basically had no heat at all on whatsoever. R-Truth did a very nice promo. Drew McIntyre comes out and beats R-Truth pretty handily in about 5 minutes. This was a match that should not have been on the pay-per-view, or if so, should have been a little bit lower. Oh, and by the way, just as an aside, the Morrison-Ziggler match was supposed to open the show, and in my opinion, I don't understand what the wrestling critics were saying. This was a match of the year candidate, if you ask me. It was really that good, in my opinion.
Not up to the throne, Taker Michaels, I imagine.
Well, no. Taker Michaels will win match of the year. I'm just saying you can throw it in the mix.
If it was any other year, this would be a strong candidate.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. But Michaels Taker will win match of the year unless something incredibly major happens. Okay. Then we have a three-way. Did you talk about Jericho, Batista, Rey Mysterio?
Yes, we did.
Okay. From a live perspective, Rey Mysterio got booed out of the building. He did. He got booed out of the building.
Then they did a great job with the mics because we didn't hear that.
Oh, he did. I am definitely telling you, he definitely got booed out of the building. So you had a three-way title between Swagger, Kofi, and The Miz. The Miz cut a great promo, I'm sorry, that was a great promo, about being stuck in New Jersey. Please, please, ban me from Jersey so I don't have to come back here. Great stuff. I'm sorry. It was awesome. Then
hey, Jason, was that a play on Conan O'Brien?
Yes, that was a play on Conan O'Brien, and it was also a play on the fact that you had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles dancing in the skybox earlier on.
Great!
If you remember correctly.
Yes, and they even made a comment about this. You know, we are in the sewers.
Yes, exactly. We are in the sewers, so, you know, that sort of thing.
Right now I'm glaring daggers at all of you.
I'm sorry?
I'm from Jersey.
So, who cares? It doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying. That's what The Miz said.
Wait. Is he from Jersey? Are you from New Jersey, or are you from New Jersey?
I'm from New Jersey.
Jackie.
Okay. So, the Kofi won. There were some nice spots in there, including a triple Tower of Doom, which was very nice. Kofi won with, I believe, a Trouble in Paradise.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Then you had the cage lowered for the third time, and then you had DX versus Legacy. Beforehand, Randy Orton was selling the importance of the cage, which was really kind of bizarre, looking that he really didn't even get hurt by it, to be honest.
Got hypnotized by it. That's why he was so slow through his match.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so then Legacy said, maybe you should just shut up, old man, or something to that effect. Am I pretty much going with it?
Well, so it was, well, you know, I know you weren't a fan of this match. The only thing I didn't like was where it was on the card.
No, hold on. I understand, after listening to a couple analysis, that the DX Legacy match was sort of an old-school NWA-style beatdown. Correct?
Yeah.
So basically, Legacy jumps DX before the match, throws Shawn Michaels in the cage, and locks Shawn in and decides to beat the... Oh, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase this. They beat DX from pillar to post around the ring for about 8 minutes. Then Ted, or is it Cody, does something on the steel steps. Who did that to knock Triple H out?
Oh, I forget. But, yeah, Hunter was laid out at the top of the ramp, and then they threw Michaels in the cage, secured the cage, and then proceeded to beat the holy hell, pun fully intended, out of Shawn Michaels.
Yes. And then Triple H wakes up, tries to get back in, can't. They taunt him, and then Triple H leaves. Then he comes back with his second best friend. And no, it's not the booking committee. it's a bolt cutters. He comes in, cuts the bolt, cleans house. Then they decide to lock Cody in the cage, if I remember correctly.
Right, Cody was the one who took the finish.
And Cody took a double sledgehammer, sweet chin music, pin, game over. Ted DiBiase comes out and then gets a super kick for his measures, and that ends the show. Well, on the live show, Cody Rhodes got stretchered out.
Which they ended up showing on Raw the following day.
Which we're about to get to now. Oh, by the way, do we have scores or not? Do we not?
Well, yeah, I'll go ahead and give the scores because I know not everybody had turned in their votes. The Drew McIntyre R-Truth match was not part of the votes, and with only 1, 2, 3, 4 people reporting in, Trista bottoms out the scores with a whopping 3. Mr. Seidelman and VRM, you tie at 4.5.
Yes, go on.
So you gentlemen can all take a seat because this lady is in charge with a bright shiny new belt in her hand.
There you go. So what comes up with how many points, by the way?
I came up with 5.
5 out of 7, not bad.
5 out of 7 because the only one I missed was Cena Orton.
Uh-huh.
Everything
now,
else pegged.
One quick thing. What's first, Bound for Glory or Bragging Rights?
Bound for Glory next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So.
Hey, can I just say one thing before we close the book on this pay-per-view? I just wanted to talk about the main event. I think that the way that it was structured, I like the way that it was structured, the DX Legacy main event, but to close a show... to end the show with that kind of a match, I didn't like that. And if it would have went on first or if it went on in the middle of the show, I would have thought it would be a great match. The way that they locked Shawn Michaels in the Hell in the Cell and worked on him over and Triple H comes back out, I would like to see him actually break the lock off of the door with a sledgehammer. Bolt cutter is kind of weak, but I'm sure... Maybe it would have been the Mark Henry situation where he couldn't get the door off, if anybody remembers that. But I give them credit for writing a solid match. I just don't like the placement of it on the card. Maybe that has something to do with The Undertaker and Pop, but I just wanted to get that out in the open.
That has everything to do with The Undertaker. I'm sorry. I mean, you can blame the way the show was structured solely on The Undertaker in this particular case. Because if not, you would have had Cena Orton first, or maybe DX Legacy. No, I'm sorry. You would have had Morrison Ziggler first, which is what was supposed to open the show.
And from what I saw, the Undertaker match, I wouldn't have minded had that gone on last, to tell you the truth.
No one would have minded that. I mean, and the funny thing is, a lot of people actually like the Orton-Cena match, and I just don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't fucking get it. Excuse me, you know, it's one of those things where you just... Orton and Cena are two boring, non-working wrestlers.
I got to tell you too, Jason, and Nikki knows this, About a year ago, I was the biggest Orton mark you'd ever see in your entire lifetime. I had all his merch. I wore his T-shirts, and I can't get behind him. They've made him look like a pussy, pretty much, and I can't get behind him anymore.
Well, no. This is DJ, right? I assume.
Yes.
Okay.
That's DJ.
Yeah. Okay.
And
DJ. Yes.
Go ahead.
You put welcome to the light side of the force. I mean, seriously. I mean, if you look, and I will give you a Hell in a Cell match where Orton actually did work. Orton, Undertaker, Hell in a Cell, which is on the DVD. I forget when it was. You remember?
Armageddon.
He worked. And he had a good match with The Undertaker.
Now, I'm not defending either one of them, Jason, but this was pointed out to me. Their two styles of how they like to tell a story with their characters are incompatible.
Who, Orton Cena?
Yes.
See, Orton over the last year has lost so much ground because everybody complains about how stale the Raw main event scene. Who has he feuded with in the past 9 months, Triple H and John Cena, the two guys that are complained about the most at the top of the Raw card. If you think to last year, to 2007-2008, his feuds with Michaels and a brief feud with Jericho and his feud with Jeff Hardy were white hot. So, but Orton has, his in-ring work in the past 8 months and the way he's been booked, I mean, on Monday you had him, John Cena was beat to a bloody pulp.
Let's get to that, shall we, for just one second. Well, since I am technically the host here, I was at a concert on Monday night, but Miss Nikki Haymon saw Raw. Supposedly the Hell in a Cell was supposed to be the be all and end all of the Orton Cena feud, right, Nikki?
Okay, this is where I'm going to catch it. I'm going to catch 2 tons of hell, but that's okay.
Wasn't Orton Cena's feud, well, over?
That's what the original intent of Hell in a Cell was, and that was always my understanding. Since I've only, you know, the first Hell in a Cell I saw was probably the one I think I saw one before I actually got to see the one at Bad Blood. That's a feud ender. We're done. Fini. Go away. Enough. But somehow, somebody gets it in their head, and thank God it wasn't Roethlisberger, because otherwise the Pittsburgh Steelers would never have won a Super Bowl under his watch. That they still had one last bit of business. And frankly, we could have skipped that last bit of business and just thrown Cena to SmackDown. Instead, they said they had to do something even more uber, which was announced as an Iron Man match.
Fail. Feel the excitement. Feel it.
Rude. Buffalo. Rude.
Okay. Not only is it an Iron Man match, it is a no-holds-barred Iron Man. Yeah, thank you. It's a no-holds-barred Iron Man match, correct?
Yes. It's, you know, weapons are allowed, falls count anywhere, you know, this way they don't actually have to wrestle.
Now, is it 30 minutes or is it 60 minutes?
It's a full hour.
Oh.
It's going to be a 60 minutes snooze fest.
And
you could bottle this match, this upcoming match. You know, Ambien would go out of business. I mean, seriously, it's this is terrible. But there are
some... I get it.
Okay, thank you.
Plus it's poor booking.
It's poor booking, number one. But even more fail-tastic is the conditions that go along with it, Nikki. Explain it to the general public.
Well, first of all, Orton has to figure out 30 different moves since he was doing one every 2 minutes at Hell in a Cell. We timed this. Second of all, again, their styles are incompatible because Cena will let you beat the high holy hell out of him so that he can make his comeback and win. Orton is an opportunist. He's a stick-and-move kind of guy when he actually works. That, you know, looks for his opportunity to get the RK out of nowhere or the head punt of doom. So while Cena's lying there half-beat to hell, Orton's waiting for his opportunity. Huh? We just—it's not going to work. I'm praying, you know. Thankfully, because of the way some of the things that are coming up with the way this pay-per-view set up, our dear new pay-per-view bragging rights. Replace a gimmick match, gimmick pay-per-view with another gimmick pay-per-view. Vince, what are you on this week?
Oh, and by the way, speaking of that. Vince changed the name of another pay-per-view this week.
Yeah.
I was just about to mention that.
And they gave us a chance to vote for that one, and it still got changed.
Yes. And No Way Out is out. It's now WWE Elimination Chamber.
I repeat.
Yeah.
Oh, and the also they announced that the pay-per-view in January... They also announced the pay-per-view in January is going to be WWE 30 Men in One Ring Over the Top Rope.
Nice.
Just wait until April. WWE pay-per-view.
No. WrestleMania.
No.
So before we get back to Raw, right? Let us see if we. So let's try and get this right, okay? Because my brain is not really. You know, comprehending this. How many different name changes and name pay-per-views have we got so far? So, get this, right?
You're gay.
Stop talking, man.
What the heck?
What was that?
Just take it off, Chris. Really, take it off.
What?
I think I've got one too many numbers going on here. Anyway, Carl?
Okay. So January is the Royal Rumble. February is now WWE Elimination Chamber. Then you have WrestleMania. Then Judgment Day, right?
Backlash.
Judgment Day. June is the Bash.
Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules.
Which was changed from One Night Stand.
Even though
that was years ago.
Okay. Extreme Rules. The Bash, SummerSlam, right?
Night of Champions.
Good God. Night of Champions, SummerSlam, then...
Breaking Point.
Breaking Point.
Hell in a Cell. Bragging Rights.
Survivor Series, Armageddon.
Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
That one got changed.
So you have like four or five different pay-per-views, right?
Yep.
One, two, three, because Bash is still technically the Great American Bash, you just shorten the name. Four, five, six, seven. Chamber Rules, Night of Champions has been that for 3 years now, so that doesn't count. Breaking Point, Hell in a Cell, Bragging Rights, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. So if you count Night of Champions, it's seven. If you count the Bash, it's eight.
Unbelievable.
And I don't anticipate Backlash and Judgment Day to survive either.
I wasn't expecting Judgment Day to survive all this mess. No Mercy and Unforgiven, I expected those to go away too. But why did they change Cyber Sunday? Seriously.
Last year's format kind of really killed them.
Yeah.
Really killed them.
The text voting killed that concept. Because if you were out of the U.S., you couldn't do it.
That's what you get for charging, too, because a lot of people weren't going to do it because of that.
Here's one thing I don't get about the whole bragging rights concept. I like the idea of a Raw versus SmackDown, just kind of throw all the feuds out the window for one pay-per-view and let two brands go head-to-head, but that's what they were saying. All the winners of the match will face off in the main event, but then you have an hour-long Iron Man match, and then on the other brand you have a Fatal 4-Way with four of your top stars, how are you going to have time for these other matches, and how are you going to have time for a main event match? And who's going to be in it if all those guys are in your main event, are in your title matches?
They should have just told the Raw versus, booking. They should have just held the Raw versus SmackDown thing until Survivor Series. When,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bring back the
before,
old grand
still.
Finale match of Survival from 1990.
And poor little ECW, they don't even merit a mention. I mean, I think the timing of that, actually, I think they changed the name of the pay-per-view basically to sell their Raw versus SmackDown video game because it comes out the same week. And that's who sponsors the pay-per-view, is Raw versus SmackDown.
By the way, they did show I don't know if you saw it, they showed the John Cena SmackDown versus Raw 2010 commercial, which wasn't bad. I don't know if that was seen in the arena, or I've seen on the pay-per-view or not.
I don't believe so. I don't remember it. I think I'd remember that.
Okay, so so that's bad. Jeez.
Because I remember the ad for 09 because indirectly on it.
Exactly. Okay, so since we've got about 24 minutes left, what's the big thing happen on Raw this week?
Ben Roethlisberger and his entire offensive line decided to take over Raw.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Okay.
They could have waited. No, that's not true. That he'd have to have gone to the pay-per-view. Anyway, Big Ben was pretty laid back for the show. He had his obligatory run-ins with Chris Jericho and Santino Marella.
And Hornswoggle.
As Santino could not pronounce Roethlisberger to save his life until Hornswoggle slapped him.
I think the biggest development to come out of Raw is Jericho once again coming out on the losing end in his battle with Triple H.
That's well, it shouldn't be a surprise. In Jericho's career, Triple H is the one man he cannot beat. He can beat anybody else. If
well,
we put him in a feud with Undertaker, he'd probably win.
And the only time he did beat it was stricken from the record.
Exactly.
Yeah, we got the old Men in Black mind eraser thing after that match. We don't remember that.
So,
very good.
And it turns out that all the Pittsburgh Steelers are DX marks. They backed DX in the main event, which was DX versus Darius Show, which was actually a pretty fun match. Jericho decided late to powder out, and as he's coming up the ramp, outwalk all the Steelers in DX Army shirts. Like, DX needs any help selling their crap.
Yeah, no.
And to Jericho's credit, he actually helped them sell that shit, too. When they came out, Jericho's, oh, look, it's D-Generation X. They're here to hawk their T-shirts and their hats and their wristbands and their book that's coming out, and just went down their entire list. And Hunter says,
and then Hunter says, actually, we didn't come out to do that, but thanks for the plug anyway.
And I'll tell you, Jericho's interaction with all the guest hosts has been priceless. It wasn't anything different this week when Big Show says to Ben Roethlisberger, your linemen can't be any bigger than me. And then Chris Jericho says, yeah, they can't be any bigger than me either.
Okay.
Or something to that effect. His little man, they need to alter his gimmick so that he has short man syndrome.
Take over the old hardcore and Crash Holly gimmick, where he thinks he's well over 400 pounds and 6 foot six.
Yeah, that was
he needs to carry a scale out to the ring.
Well, so basically, and strangely enough, even though that the ratings for ESPN Packers Vikings were the highest in cable history, okay, Raw ratings went up this week from last.
You could go much lower, but I think, you know, Sharpton kind of alienated a lot of people. A football player, hey, that's kind of cool. Football players and wrestlers, look at all the doofuses in the ring at once.
and they got their – and when SportsCenter came on the air after the football game, what was the last clip to lead in on the intro? DX and Ben Roethlisberger.
Just awesome. And they their Raw recap has been the SportsCenter video package. So, you know, shaking hands across the airwaves, as it were. In the middle of all this, I neglect to mention, oh, yeah, the U.S. title changed hands.
And who did it go to?
It went to somebody who was pretty much put on notice that if he lost, he was going to have to take the microphone and declare himself awful.
Instead of?
Awesome.
Which he now is, having the belt.
Now he is officially with that belt around his waist.
Okay.
If only he could have done it the night before.
Yeah.
Then you would have won my shiny, shiny belt. Mine.
So, what happened on ECW?
Tiffany showed up.
Yes, with a broken arm.
The janitor got some airtime.
Changing those urinal cakes is a big job.
That was spectacular. But better that than Abraham Washington trying to make sense of it all.
Christian and Zack Ryder 2.0, not bad.
Can never complain about those two going at it. No Hurricane, I protest.
Zeke and Kozlov beat Goldust and Dreamer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yoshi
beat
Regal, right?
Yep, and then Regal stood around and complained bitterly throughout the rest of the night.
Something, it just made me feel really happy inside hearing Zack Ryder call William Regal bro.
But we also had TNA this week did something pretty cool. They put on Global Impact 2 this week.
That was awesome.
By the way, if you do not catch the first or the second one, it's the best thing that TNA has produced by far. It's great stuff. It's unbelievably cool. The first Global Impact was great. I did not see the second one, but if it was on even close to the quality, it's possibly very cool.
Yeah, that's because, well, the one bad thing was about it is that we still, of course, had Don West's interviewer because this was back on January 4th.
We did get to see Albert, though.
Well, that's Giant Bernardo, excuse me.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And Massachono of NWO B-Team fame.
Yeah, we got a little NWO reunion with Nash and Chono on the same team.
Yeah, but that's it. And on SmackDown, we had the announcement of the main event for bragging rights being a fatal four-way between Rey Mysterio, Batista, Undertaker, and CM Punk.
Look who's back in the title picture.
Yeah,
well. I kind of don't like the way it was done, the way the announcement was made, where essentially Vince just came out and stepped on Teddy Long's toes. I realize it's part of the storyline, but since you own the whole damn company, you can pick any other night to do this. If Teddy's supposed to be impressing you, you can't be stepping into the spotlight. Was it just me?
I don't know. But the best thing about SmackDown, Vicky Guerrero is back. Thank you very much.
And the first thing they do to her is Teddy walks in and goes, excuse me.
And Eric Escobar is finally up. 4 years in developmental.
Is he a good wrestler? Who is Eric Escobar, for those who do not know?
Eric Escobar is Eric Perez. He wrestled in Puerto Rico. He was signed to the WWE's developmental system way back in September of 2005 as one of the originals for Deep South Wrestling.
Okay.
And he's been through the developmental system ever since, including a stint as a tag team partner of Primo in the Puerto Rican Nightmares.
And he has compromising pictures of Vince McMahon, Johnny Ace, et al. because for him to stick a for him to stick around that long where all these other people have been thrown out onto the streets, he has to have something on somebody.
Yeah, he's got something.
He got, and he got
nobody
booed
stays
the shit out of
that long.
He got booed the shit out of when he did wrestle the dark match on Raw back on the 30th.
Also,
whatever it was, I went to Raw. He got booed the shit out of.
Okay, Rey Mysterio defeated Chris Jericho with the 619. Michelle McCool defeated Eve Torres. Yet again, though, Morrison defeated Ziggler.
But it wasn't entirely Ziggler's fault this time.
Go on.
During the match, Maria came running down because she wanted to watch her boyfriend in action. The referee told her she was going to watch. She cannot watch. You know, she cannot watch the ring to go take a seat. So she finds a convenient folding chair, opens it, and has a seat. Well, the match spills out to the floor, and Maria gets clear of the action. Ziggler grabs the chair, pulls it up, and throws it up against the apron without the ref seeing it. Crawls back in the ring, and you know, finally is getting the upper hand on Morrison. While he's finishing Morrison off, Maria grabs the chair to go sit back down. Ziggler goes for the chair. He looks, you know, he sees it's gone. He looks over at Maria, who's sitting in the chair, going, "What?" He stands up and eats a flying chuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. So after the match was over, the two of them were in the back, and Maria was trying to get Dolph to speak to her because she wasn't sure why he was so upset. And he broke up with her. Bastard.
I'm just curious. Who in the hell is Dolph anyway? Is that his real name? The Rock. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, who writes this stuff? Anyway, Drew McIntyre and Kane defeated R-Truth and Matt Hardy when Hardy did the job for McIntyre. The couple promos, Batista and Rey Mysterio, they're bros. Undertaker, you know, Undertaker is going to win and take all their souls. And then in the main event, CM Punk defeated Batista by countout. What happened?
Essentially, that fight was on the floor. Punk had delayed Batista a bit. Batista got the upper hand, got a hold of Punk, and was going to Batista bomb him on the floor. Gets Punk up. Punk grabs the ropes and keeps his legs scissored on Batista's neck, if you can find it. And at 9, he pulls himself free and falls back in the ring before Big Dave can climb up. 10.
Okay.
So Batista's just standing right outside the ring, absolutely incredulous. While Punk is rolling on the mat, laughing his ass off. So Dave doesn't put up with that. He puts in whatever code it is for winning the segment, even if he lost the match. And Dave smash Punk
to end the show on the happy note, pretty much
for the home crowd. Interesting note about the Undertaker promo. I heard a few notes in there that reminded me of Biker Taker.
Oh?
He made a statement about the ring being his yard.
Uh-huh.
But
his graveyard.
Yeah, his yard, but for the others, a graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
And then proceeded to say what, you know, how much damage he was going to do to them spiritually.
Okay.
But he didn't set the ring on fire. Come on, man. You set the ring posts on fire when you were threatening Vicky Guerrero. What are you gonna, you know, you gotta scare these guys.
Well, Punk isn't scared of the Undertaker and
bullshit.
Well, whatever. okay, to switch up onto some wrestling news, some sad stuff that I've been reading. According to Declaration of Independence Wrestling, DOI Wrestling.
Sorry. I've never learned to really, DOI. especially if it winds up being about Rey Navarro.
It's not about Rey Navarro. Could you just let me?
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Wrestling Observer is reporting that Lou Albano is now in hospice care.
Ah, jeez.
Yeah.
And he's been pretty much ill for the last year, so, you know, we might be probably reporting on his unfortunate passing soon. Sooner rather than later. Second thing, again, also from the DOI, Holly Race's wife has passed away tonight. So, and that is from Wrestling Observer as well. Also, Roddy Piper was canceled a few appearances this week. Rumor is that he is not, put it to you this way, he is not, the rumor was that he was dying of terminal cancer, but no. The doctor said that he just is, basically he is resting up, but he is not terminally ill. So that is some good news. It's a very interesting thing, though. Lacey Von Erich, who debuted last week as a member of the Beautiful People, had an interview in the Miami Herald. Did anybody read that interview? She basically trashed Angelina Love. You remember that?
Yeah, not a good way to get off on a right foot with your new company.
Right, and then spent the whole last week doing the Savion Glover tap dance this week. So,
oh, dear.
As we all know that next week we're going to have two hosts, Maria Menounos and Nancy O'Dell from Access Hollywood.
On the radio show? Awesome!
They're
dual guest hosts for Raw in Indianapolis, and I will not be there.
You will not be there. However, something very interesting came up on the net, which I actually saw. There was a YouTube video of Maria Menounos actually doing wrestling for a wrestling school, taking practice lessons, which was videotaped. Hey. As soon as it got out, the video was taken down. Now, I actually saw this. Okay, if she's going to do some work, she's going to be good. Trust me on this. She is going to be really, really, really good, I think. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a bit of a surprise to some people how good she might be. So...
You're going to be better than Rosa Mendez?
Hey, anybody's better than Rosa Mendez right now.
Ouch.
Sorry.
No. But ouch.
So
I've got a couple of bits.
Go for it.
Standing rumor is that Booker T's contract is going to be up somewhere in the next few months.
November.
He's probably not going to renew. And they probably don't want him back, especially after the chair and debris throwing incident during their overseas tour. He and Charmel left the ring and went to the back and refused to come out for their match, after order was restored.
Well, that was because, who was the one who ripped the Swiss flag? That was Kurt Angle, wasn't it?
No, it was Steiner.
Scott Steiner.
Okay.
So they had to send Daivari out there to do something, but Booker's caught a lot of heat for this because they did restore order and they could still have done the match. And he was advertised and people were there to see him.
Plus, he refused to put Matt Morgan over at the most recent set of tapings for Impact in Orlando. And
right.
I guess Dixie had gave him a good talking to, saying, hey, you know, we all need to be moving in the same direction here. And then he agreed he would do it, and then later on he changed his mind again and threw a hissy fit. So I don't think that he's going to endear himself to the TNA brain trust, and he's probably gone. And if I'm WWE, I don't even want him back.
I don't know.
I think he will try to go back to WWE after he saw that Chris Masters got a second shot. And speaking of returns, Wednesday night on RVD Radio, Rob decided to stir the pot. Rob put it to the blogiverse. If I decided to go back to wrestling, where would you want me to go, WWE or TNA?
Well, you know what? Honestly, I would love to see him in WWE. WWE needs him more. You know?
I'd agree with that. DJ, what do you think?
I would send him to the WWE for this same reason. I think it would make a return more important. And I'd actually rather like to see TNA push younger stars, push your Matt Morgans, your Samoa Joes, your D'Angelo De Niro's, your AJ Styles.
Oh, and by the way, let me give you a quick update of the lineup for Bound for Glory, which we're going to be talking about next week. There are eight matches, and let me tell you something. I would buy this pay-per-view right now. There are about four or five matches that I really want to see here. Going from bottom to top, Sarita and Taylor Wilde versus the Beautiful People. Kevin Nash as the Legend Champ versus Hernandez versus Eric Young. Full Metal Mayhem, Booker T and Scott Steiner versus 3D versus Beer Money versus British Invasion. I assume that's steel chairs and things like that. Suicide versus D'Angelo De Niro versus Daniels versus Homicide in the Ultimate X match. Hello Kitty, okay?
Yeah.
Monsters Ball, Mick Foley versus Abyss with Stevie Richards as the special ref. MMA versus TNA submission bout, Samoa Joe versus Bobby Lashley. And the top two matches, which I'm looking forward to see how they do it both ways, Matt Morgan versus Kurt Angle and Sting versus AJ Styles. And I would love to see them both put AJ Styles and Matt Morgan over. If you do that, then the booking is going in the right direction. My personal opinion. Thoughts, quickly? Because we've got about
we've got about 2 minutes. They threw a tweak in the Monsters Ball match. Abyss is not allowed to bring tacks.
Right, exactly.
And with Stevie as the special referee, this is gonna get real interesting real quick. Especially since lately I noticed Abyss is dressing like Mick Foley.
Yes.
It's just me.
They're supposedly trying to get Terry Funk involved too.
It'd be very interesting to see. But let me just tell you something. Next week is going to be really cool for us because we're going to be talking about Bound for Glory, and we're going to talk about what they're putting in and throwing into bragging rights. God help us all.
And don't forget about Super Impact.
That's right. It's a 3-hour Impact tomorrow, next week, right?
Yeah.
Which they taped already, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
3 hours next week, 3-hour Impact, and then we have Bound for Glory Pick'ems next week. So, Nikki, do you want to close it out?
Let's see. Are you looking for shout-outs? Are you looking for any bonuses?
Shout-outs, bonuses. How long we got?
We got one minute.
All right, so shout it out.
So here we go. This coming Thursday, October 15th, is probably going to be the only sad news in the wrestling world, as Pro Training Wrestling will be closing its doors for a time. Our sponsor, Jimmy Yang, is going to be on the road a lot more. He is not going to be able to dedicate the time to the league. So we are advertising that show October 15th, starting at 7:30 sharp. All tickets are $5. All snacks are $1. And hopefully we're going to be able to send everything out with a bang. I'll be down there with Candy Charles.
Yeah, there you go. Just do it upright. And I will be doing an announced gig November 15th, Toys for Tots charity show. Christmas is coming up real soon. For Funkified FWF Wrestling in Wilmington, Delaware. So I will have an announced gig. I will be back planning my wares there.
All righty, so we're at the 30-second mark, so I think we all need to say do our goodnights.
I will do that. For Nikki Heyman, I believe it's VRM, fourth DJ. Typho, and DJ and myself.
Sorry, Typho.
Sorry. this is Jason Block for the North American Wrestling Connection. Robert Seinelman, our host, will be back next week. And for all of us, just got to say good night. Be safe. God bless. Good night.
Night.
Sweet. Thanks, Jason. Good night.
Good night.
It happens again. By the way, DJ, I heard you're in Toledo?
Yes.
Okay, that's a bit of a shock. You need to contact me on the WrestleCrap forums or on email.
Will do, Josh.
All right.
Thank you.
Later.
Night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night.
I'm sorry again, Josh.
Yeah, shit happens.
Yankees win.
Oh, Yankees win.
JBL is poopy.
Oh, so win.
Where's the win button on that one? Can I play sounds? Can I still play sound? Yes,
no.
I can.
Oh.
And finally, pray for me, guys. I have tickets to Bragging Rights.
See what kind of nap you can get during the Iron Man match.
Well, I figure I can get all my shopping in and grab some dinner and make a couple of phone calls. And by the time I get back to my seat, they'll still be going.
Yeah.
Just in time to see Cena get punted in the head or Cena overcoming the odds.
I'm thinking Cena's getting a boot to the head, and he's going to fly all the way to SmackDown because they've been making too much big deal about that the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So.
Keep that on my list to Pittsburgh. I would have gotten to that show.
Well, it's just that the tickets went on sale so, you know, so much earlier in the year. My tickets still say Cyber Sunday, so I'm hoping they'll at least let me in.
They should.
Yeah, if I were at Ohio State or if this was on my break, it would definitely be a lot easier for me because I went to Armageddon. You were at Armageddon, right, Nikki?
Yeah, I was there. We were unfortunately on a bad side. Did my switchboard just die?
Maybe.
Okay.
Probably.
Anyway,
we were
just on the bad side, so we didn't get this. We couldn't see the clones when they first came out.
I couldn't either.
I heard it. By the way,
DJ, let's go ahead and just send me an email to pksaman@yahoo.com. Contact me there. I want to talk to you some more.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I just moved to Toledo. Well, it'll be mid-August. I'm going to law school at UT. And
wait a minute. We probably crossed paths before because I'm going to UT as well.
You do? Well, I as you probably know, parking on this campus sucks. I'm always parking behind Rocket Hall and making the trek over.
This is why I walk from my apartment complex just off campus.
I live about 10 minutes out, like west of campus, almost to 475. I'm right off of Bancroft, so you follow Bancroft all the way down, almost to 475.
If you know where the Wendy's is on the corner of Dorn Burn, it's that apartment complex right next door.
Okay, because when I was there the first week, the law school had a drinking night out at X.
Oh.
On Dorn.
Okay.
So. I've been through that area before actually going to class because sometimes I'll just take Dora down because it's easier for me to get
yeah.
to behind Rocket Hall.
Yeah. So, yeah, just send me off an email, pksaman@yahoo.com.
Do you watch pay-per-views at all? Because I know when I was in Columbus, I went and watched shows with Nikki at different places. And
downtown in Bowling Green specifically. That's where the closest place is.
I feel like a fool to go by myself to beat up and sit at the bar and look so lonely when I'm there just drinking beers and watching wrestling.
Yeah,
so usually I try
to
catch it on my Ustream and it always gets shut down like in the middle of the event.
Yeah, this is where Uptown Downtown fits in perfectly.
Sweet.
Yeah, they got a blast zone there. Everything free, well, at least pay-per-views. Just have to be 21 or older, and considering you're in law school, yeah, you are.
Awesome.
All right, so let's go ahead, get off, because I believe Nikki probably wants to hang up and say thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye, ka-clunk. Correct, Nikki?
Well, I wasn't going to say it. I was going to let what's her name, who, you know, welcomes me every time. She'd have said it, but we'd still have about another, you know, close to an hour. But you guys go ahead and get yourselves set up. You know, I'm glad you got somebody to watch pay-per-views with, DJ.
Or even go to indie. Do you go to indie shows, Josh, at all?
Very, very rarely. I've only been to one not WWE event in my life, and that was Chikara over in Cleveland last year.
Yeah, I try to go to some different shows every once in a while, especially say if there's an indie show and there's a big name working.
I know there's an indie independent there up here in Toledo. I forget the name of it. They supposedly have, like, Bobo Brazil Jr. as the main eventer. Yeah, I've heard it's lousy.
Really?
Yeah. If you're looking for a good independent, you need to go up to Primetime Wrestling in Michigan.
See, I was actually...
And they get a lot of TNA guys.
I was just on their site today, Nikki, and they don't have a show until December.
Okay. Yeah,
Nikki, what about Border City Wrestling from Detroit / Windsor, Ontario?
If you've got a passport, definitely
go. I do.
Okay, then definitely go.
After the Sanchez debacle, vote 7.
Okay. My friend Brandon Toll works as a referee periodically.
All right.
I've got actually – that's what I should do. Because I think they have a show on November 13th. I guess Scott D'Amore is supposed to wrestle in the main event. He's supposed to team with Petey. Against, oh, God, who is it? The Joe Doering and Tyson Dukes, maybe? Does that sound right?
That sounds
right. And Kurt Angle's supposed to be the special enforcer for that match. So they'll have, like, all those guys. They'll have Robert Roode there. It'd be nice to go. I've actually never been to Windsor. I don't have my passport on me. I'd have to go home before that shoot. I'm actually picking up at home.
Whereas me, I couldn't go because right now my monetary situation's a bit sticky because of UT not giving me every peach cent they can. Read the college opportunity grant.
God, don't you hate UT? I'm so pissed about their parking. They put a parking – well, I never got a parking ticket, but I was parked behind Rocket Hall, and I always drive around and make sure that I'm in a spot because they ticket you if you're not in a spot. And my parents got a letter 3 weeks after I got a ticket. I actually was never presented with a ticket, so I thought I was good to go, you know. And my parents got a letter 3 weeks ago.
They shouldn't have, unless you've signed them off on the FERPA.
Well, I did sign them off on FERPA, but
that's
I think that was listed as my. But, here's the thing. I never got an actual ticket, like a ticket on my vehicle. But I was just pissed with the way they had looked through the process because I was never presented with a ticket, yet I get a letter 3 weeks after the alleged violation saying, hey, you have to pay this ticket. It was sent to my house 5 hours away from home. I mean, even if it would have been sent to me in my apartment 3 weeks later, I was never presented with an actual ticket. Like, they took down my license number.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
And it was $35, so I appealed it. I'm pissed. They're trying to, and then I got another. I audited out of their or waived their insurance, and they did an audit on me. And then I get a letter with my student insurance card from Aetna, and then I get emails from University of Toledo that says, "Congratulations! Did you get the same one? I think it's only like 5,000."
Was there? Yeah,
I think it was
this is about the insurance issue from, like, Thursday.
Yeah.
Nope, I was one of the lucky ones. I didn't
get it. Was it 15,000 out of 20,000 got it or something? They said to disregard those.
Sounds about right. It was a typo. Everyone's been fixed.
Oh, but the thing is, I got something last week, an actual card sent to my house because I was home last week. And I got a card sent to my house. They're sending all this to my house. Like, you waved, here's your student card, and I waved it. My mom and dad thought, you're irresponsible. You didn't waive out of the insurance. And here I showed them my emails, and they were like, I'll be damned, somebody screwed up. I was like, well, thank you.
You may want to, if you want to get emails, though, you may want to go to MyUT and deal with that there, because it's obvious that, you need to get a separate billing or shipping or whatever type of address it is, the one sent to your thing off Bancroft. But I put in.
Actually, I do get stuff from UT, and it's sent here. But there's just some stuff that gets sent home. I don't understand it because I said, I mean, I don't mind it. I don't mind my parents seeing what's sent to them, but it's just annoying when they have to send it to me, or I have to go home to get it, you know, or they have to bring it up here.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Joy. Whew. All right. So,
gentlemen.
Yeah. Just
you guys
send me an email. Yahoo. Have fun.
Yeah, we'll do.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Nikki, I meant to ask you, because when you were talking about it, is it shutting down for good, or is it just going to be like a few month hiatus, or what?
For what?
Well, for PT Wrestling, essentially what it is that it sounds like the going rumor right now is that Jimmy is actually going to get repackaged and put back on TV.
Cool.
Again? He's
no longer going to be an Asian redneck jobber. I don't know what the new gimmick is, though.
Please let it be a follower of Zack Ryder.
God help us. but regardless, the fact that, you know, essentially it boils down to, you know, every worker, just about every worker who's worked at PT has missed a show because of their job. Well, now it's Jimmy's turn. So now it's Jimmy's turn. And, you know, I got to respect that.
Yeah.
So we're going to have I don't know if they're going to do anything. There isn't anything special that I'm aware of that's going to happen Thursday night. Although, admittedly, plot-wise, in my case, Candy and I are going to have a little talk.
All right.
He left me in the ring where a wrestler was feeding me his wig.
Oh, tasty.
Yeah.
Why do I
fear Super Oprah's wig? Why do I fear Super Oprah's wig?
It's not super. It wasn't Super Oprah's wig that I got fed either. Although, admittedly, if you go look up Super Oprah has a video on YouTube of getting the royal disc from Ron Simmons. So that's awesome.
Oh, didn't you ride with Jabari to Philly?
Yeah, he was with me riding out to Philadelphia, and I didn't get to tell you that story. Sunday morning, we're both waking up and, you know, getting our act together to go down to the arena. Well, I get up, grab my stuff, jump in the shower. I'm out in 10 minutes. I'm dressed, and I'm, you know, getting my bag put back together. Jabari gets up, grabs an armload of bottles and tubes and containers of all shapes and sizes, disappears in the bathroom for 45 minutes. Something's wrong with this picture, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a friend like that, and he takes forever. Like, when he says, I got to go change, everybody's like, no, at all costs, we try to keep him away from the bathroom, because he'll, like, walk around in his towel, you know, and he'll just, like, he takes so long to get ready. And whenever says somebody calls, like, say they're waiting on us at a bar or something, they'll say, where are you guys at? And we'll say, you know, Billy's fixing his hair. They're like, oh, God.
Oh.
Well, we'll try to catch you guys the next time, you know. We'll make a running joke out of it. Like, you know, he's fixing his hair, and then you know that, you know, it's going to be a while because he takes forever. He'll change his clothes 3 different times. He's like a girl. He'll come outside. He'll say, hey, do you guys like my outfit? Like, am I too dressed up? He's one of those guys.
Well, yeah, but we both cracked up about it. Jabari looks at me and he says, you know, you're getting ready for the show like a guy. And I said, you're getting ready like a girl. What's wrong with this picture?
So that's probably the biggest road trip you've ever done, huh?
That is the longest road trip. That is the furthest I've traveled to work. I will say that. That is the furthest I've driven to work.
What about for a show, period?
For a show, from here to Champaign, Illinois.
Ooh, wow.
Dang.
And actually, no, that was part of a weekend road trip. But the first leg of it was pretty long anyway because I went to Evansville.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 4.5 hours from, yeah.
I figured maybe the longest one was the Pittsburgh trip. Or not Pittsburgh, but for IWC.
Oh.
Not Elizabethtown. It would be a toss-up between Champaign, Illinois, and New York, New Jersey.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you went to Jersey.
Well, we stayed in Jersey to go into New York City because I went to the first two one-night stands.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you go to
Did
you go to the Rumble, too?
Yeah, but we flew. We flew for that.
Oh, okay. Brandon went with you, too, then.
Yeah, that was a one-shot deal. We got the flight was like a quarter of the price of the tickets. I mean, it was crazy.
Wow.
I flew from Columbus into LaGuardia for $125.
Wow.
And I was like, that's faster and about the same price as a rail card and two tanks of gas.
Well, one of the things that I need to do after I graduate, when I'm done with school, when I can, take days off of work and make it happen, I'm going to do one of those WrestleMania travel packages, number one. That's one of my goals. And number two, I want to do like a Sign-a-Mania or some kind of deal like that where you go around and meet everybody because I saw – who was it? I can't remember now. But one of my friends did that. He went to Sign-a-Mania, and he got to meet everybody. He got a picture with Hurricane and Fink and with everybody that was there. I think maybe Bret Hart was there. That just sounds unreal.
It's awesome.
Those are the two things that I want to do. So save your money, because we're going to go to WrestleMania and do the travel package all inclusive.
I do want to do that one year. Just right now, my money is so tight that I can't do Toledo or Huntington on Sunday. I'm not going to Indianapolis, and I'm not going to Lexington.
Mm.
And it's killing me, man.
My last show was August in... it was Lansing, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Lansing.
Okay.
And that was the last show that I did, and it's just a time thing for me. Like, actually, remember when I thought they were going to have the show in BG on Sunday, and then I realized they just never canceled it and took it off the schedule? They just canceled it and never took it off the schedule?
Yeah. No, yeah, I can't complain. It's been a little over a month. I did Detroit and Cleveland at the beginning of September.
That's right, because Detroit was two nights after I went to Lansing. That's why I didn't go to Detroit.
So I had Dusty Rhodes as my guest host. So I did get to do a guest host show.
If you will.
If you will.
And I got my own Virtus host show, but not when the guest host was there. You know what I mean.
You were at the ZZ Top show?
Oh, come on. Boo.
Well, I've got a tip for you, Josh. If you if you don't have enough money to go to the show, you can always go down and hang out around the arena before and just get autographs and do pictures, because I know that's probably my favorite part now.
Although I kind of wonder where they're exactly going to do that, the Lucas County Arena. Are they going to do it at the St. Clair parking garage right next door or something?
I have no idea, because I haven't actually seen the new arena. Is it down by 5th Third?
Yeah, it's pretty much down by 5th Third, right near the Seagate Center. In fact, it's almost essentially diagonal to Seagate Center.
Oh, okay. I know where that is.
Yeah.
I actually caught one of the two Seagate house shows.
And I missed you because I was at both.
Well, the one I went to was like 2004, 2005.
Oh, okay. There have been two since then.
Okay.
Both in the 2000, one in 2007, one in early 2008. Then there was the one in late 2008 at the Savage Arena. That was wonky as hell.
Was the Savage one, was that a super show?
Yes, that was the super show before the Royal Rumble. You may have
before
seen
the Rumble.
My post. Yeah, you may have seen my post on Wrestling Observer, F4W, Gerwek, and wherever else it wound up.
Okay, I remember. Because it was a super show. I remember that.
Yeah, I was there in the front row.
Sweet.
Right near ringside.
Boy, that would be cool if it was at Savage. That would be, if the Steelers didn't play this weekend, I'd be all over that. My mom and dad are coming up tomorrow on the bus, and they're picking me up.
Yeah, and I'm not interested in it. To be honest, money issues, as I said before, yeah, go me.
Now, then I'm in the same boat. The one that I went to, I'm trying to find the pictures from it. Oh, fine.
All I know is that when I get back from the game, because here's what's happening is, it's a bus trip, and it's leaving from Wheeling, West Virginia, and they actually leave from Wheeling tomorrow at 7 a.m., and they're picking – I told the guy that the guy that runs the tour, we always go on their baseball trips every year, and they kind of put this together really quickly, and he says, we'll just pick you up in Toledo. Well, I'm like, okay. So they're going to be here tomorrow about 11 o'clock to pick me up, and then, you know, we go
watch
and do stuff all day in Detroit.
The Steelers go beat the shit out of the Lions.
That's right, Nikki. Take that.
Okay. My favorite team is the Bengals. Then again,
okay.
They're doing halfway decent right now.
Oh,
okay.
I hate the Bengals. With the exception of Chad Ochocinco. He's pretty awesome.
I found my pictures. Now, let me give you the card from that night. Shelton Benjamin versus Chuck Palumbo.
Yeah, this is before me. Before I was up here in Toledo.
Simon Dean before he was on TV against Stevie Richards.
Damn.
La Resistance versus Rhino and Tajiri.
Yep, definitely.
Let's see, Val Venus versus... Who did he fight? Nobody important because I don't seem to have a picture of his opponent. Kane killed Maven. Eugene had the distinct honor of giving the crowd old man ass. He pulled, Flair's tight got pulled down and he took a stunner with his ass hanging out. Molly Holly versus Victoria. Triple threat for the Intercontinental title. Edge, Jericho, Batista. Back when Batista had hair.
Yeah.
And the main event, Randy Orton versus Chris Benoit for the world title.
Wow, with the exception of the triple threat for the Intercontinental title, what an awful show.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you have Ric Flair, you waste him on Eugene.
Well, what was even funnier is that partway through the match, Eugene started running around in Flair's robe.
Okay, you know what? That's kind of funny. I'll have to admit that.
That was leading up. Well, that was after, actually. That was after the Raw in Pittsburgh with the Iron Man with Benoit and Hunter. Because they were still doing the same thing with because Eugene interfered late in the match.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they've been testing this part of the finish out where Eugene gets involved, Benoit wins the match, and then he goes to talk to Eugene. He's like, I've been looking for you, man. Where have you been? And Eugene goes, I was eating ice cream.
By the way, Nikki, I just found the house show you went to August 8th, 2004.
Correct.
The missing piece you had was Val Venus defeating Rodney Mack.
No wonder I didn't have any pictures of him.
Yeah. Rodney Mack, who cares?
And he wasn't even impressive when he was being managed by Malcolm Y. I mean, Teddy Long.
Yeah.
Malcolm Y.
I mean,
that's pretty good.
Well, I mean, it was him and Roddy Mack and him and Mark Henry for a while. And then it just started kind of falling apart because Teddy was still was managing at the time, and he picked up Rosie after 3-Minute Warning broke up. And he was managing Rosie for – he managed Rosie for all of, like, 4 months before he found his higher calling.
What the hell is Rosie up to? I haven't seen his name in a long time. I thought he was making a comeback because I guess he got into real good shape, but I saw him – I think he wrestled at HWA for a little bit, and then he's like fell off the map. Well, remember what? I got a picture with him at the Cincinnati Raw, Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
last September. He was walking around the concourse, but he's like dropped off the face of the earth.
Well, he did his thing on Fat March and dropped about 50, 70 pounds, and he looked great when I ran into him at OVW back in '07. He showed up at a couple of PT wrestling shows. And he's put a good chunk of that weight back on.
Yeah.
He was pretty much wrestling in his 5 most wanted gear as Chemo. And I believe he was the one who fell on Raul Loco at one of our shows and dislocated his shoulder.
Ouch.
So I had the distinct honor of taking Raul to the hospital. Because his shoulder came out, he rolled out of the ring and just dove into the back. Because
Apparently
this is only like the second time he dislocated his shoulder, because apparently if you do it enough times, it's no big deal. But he was screaming, he was screaming and cussing, he was not happy. But I took him to the hospital and hung with him until Jimmy and the others could come by. And, you know, make sure everything was okay. So I got home a little late that night. But Rosie's been picking up indies here and there. I believe his wife is going to nursing school, and there was some talk of them moving down south. So if he does move south, he has a shot of going, you know, go knock on Steve Cairns' door and say, hey, you guys need a Samoan.
You can always work for WXW.
Huh?
What about NWE over there in the other continent, Europe?
I know they've been picking up a lot of ex-WWE guys because Kevin Thorne is going to be over there.
And Ken Kennedy just won their main belt. I mean, Anderson. Oh. Anderson.
Him too.
Anderson.
Stop that. But yeah, Thorne's headed over there. Thorne picked up a quick gig in Indianapolis. He lives in Fishers, which isn't that far from there. I ran into him over there. He'd worked at PT. He'd worked at Jimmy's, and I ran into him, and he even went and tried to get me a manager gig with IPW.
Sweet.
But short notice, so I didn't get it. But you know, that's the biggest endorsement I've ever gotten.
Yeah.
So, who knows? I'm gonna be back down there the first weekend in November. But let's see. I won't be idle. There's another group in Cincinnati, Unstoppable Wrestling Alliance, which has been stopping and starting for the past year. I'm pretty tight with one of the bookers, and I'm trying to get back in with them. They posted for looking for talent. You know, if we don't know you, you better have a video. I was like, I worked for you guys before. And I get the note back. It's Jason. I know you can work. Don't worry about it. This is when our first show is going to be. They're trying to launch just a little before Thanksgiving. But they've stopped and started. This is the league, DJ, that I got fired over the internet.
What?
They tried to fire me in a MySpace mail.
That just sounds about as impersonal as Steve Austin and the FedEx letter.
That's the first thing I thought of. So the next show, I went down there anyway because there were two different guys. There were two different guys running it. Ken Cross and Frank. Oh, I've forgotten his last name. But Frank was the one who was trying to make sure everything was, you know, all the ducks were in a row, because he was the one who actually went and got the promoter's license and actually framed it and hung it on the freaking wall. I show up and Ken Cross sees me. He says, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm just here to get my job back. You know, I don't know what's going on." He's like, "Oh, don't worry about that." So I get my stuff and I walk in the door, and there's Frank. And Frank blows up on me. "You're not supposed to be here. I fired you, and you know, since this is a right-to-work state, I didn't even have to tell you why you got fired, and I told you that in the email." Like, first of all, you know, this is a wrestling company, not Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
It does not compute. I did work that night. I didn't get paid, but I worked that night. It was messed up. So now I've got a couple of workers who, when they see me, just look at me and go, "You're fired." So, all right, gentlemen, it is 12:30.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, not that I have to be anywhere tomorrow, but I want to get off
right.
the phone.
I understand.
Yeah. All I know is that tomorrow I'm going to be loading up on all the WWE Raw Twitter guys, and if I get back from Detroit in time, the show will still be going on. If I find out where anybody is, I'm going to stalk them for you, Nikki. How's that?
That'll work. If you get another pick with Swagger, let me know.
Awesome.
All right, DJ, you know how
Josh,
to get
Josh, I'll talk
me.
To you. Yeah.
Well, Nikki, have a good night.
All right, guys, I'll see you.
DJ, have a good night, too.
All right, later.
Yeah.
Until next week, gentlemen.
Until next week.